You're listening to the Grace Podcast. I'm Pastor Justin Spurlock. I'm so glad to have you listening to this service. If you are in need of grace, you have come to the right place. We continue in this sermon series, Losing My Religion. What does it mean to cultivate a grace-based faith? What does it mean to lose our religious trappings? And literally, they're trappings. And to gain and cultivate and enrich ourselves with a grace-based faith. Friends, I want you to consider religion as it is commonly understood, as it's commonly practiced in the world and throughout history, and how so often it has looked down upon others. It has set itself up in opposition against others. It has set itself often in places of power and prestige and privilege over others. There's a reason why religion has the particular reputation that it has in our world. Religion, both on the left and the right, have often found themselves in the same bed with a political party. Liberal Christians are often identified with the Liberal Party, and conservative Christians are often identified with the Conservative Party right now in our own culture. And we can see that division. We can see all of the disputes and conflicts that come from that. And as we begin to think about that, we easily find ourselves here in this text. Envy and selfish ambition, and how that leads to disorder and wickedness of every kind. How our conflicts and disputes come from these cravings that are at war within us and war between us. And that when we don't get what we want, not only will we start fights and disputes and conflicts, sometimes we even go to war and battle with one another over it. Sometimes as far as even taking someone's actual life, as James references here with murder, that we will go to any length to get our way. Religion, as it's commonly understood, tends to be in that direction, friends. But God has always been trying to cultivate inside of us and inside the communities of faith a spirituality that is oriented around grace, around compassion, around kindness, around love, around hope, around a sense of throwing our hands open, throwing our arms open wide through smiles and acceptance and affirmation and celebration of looking at a brother or sister that we encounter and going, I want to hear your perspective. I want to listen. I'm interested. I'm curious. Tell me more. Instead of defense or even offense, instead of trespasses and debts, that we live into a world in relationships of forgiveness and acceptance, of reconciliation, of salvation. Because friends, you and I cannot go on living the way that we have, shaped by the values of culture and world and religion. No, we must be shaped by grace. You can see there as the text started out, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. Gentleness, born of wisdom. I want you to take a moment and note the beauty of this phrase, the way that the text turns on these words, a gentleness born of wisdom. Friends, we do not live in a gentle world. We live in a warring world. We don't believe in the strength of gentleness and humility. Instead, we believe in the strength of force. We have given up on the idea that perhaps I might put someone else's voice and cause, opinion or idea above my own, to even consider it for a moment. Instead, we go right in to trying to smash and mash. We immediately begin going, I'm going to muster my defense against this other person's, what we usually label as dangerous idea. But what if we took a step back and approached it with gentleness born out of wisdom? What if I can open my arms up in grace and even make myself a little vulnerable because, well, friends, you and I are following the God of the universe. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing that we need to turn from. No, we are submitting ourselves, therefore, to God. We can resist those devilish and devil-oriented temptations to think that we must have ambition and be focused in on self and be all armored up and be all ready to go and be ready to fight out into our world, because that is what the values of our world continue to teach us over and over and over again, that we must be armored up, that we must look strong and have it all put together and be ready to fight and be ready to go out and win. But Scripture over and over and over again says, no, that's not the way. Humble yourselves. Submit. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. That phrase of draw near is one of those that's is really a phrase of what we would generally call weakness. That drawing near is precisely what a child does with a parent. It's that moment where you see a child get a little shy and literally come and rest up right next to mom or dad's leg and even grab a hold of it, maybe even hide behind their body a little bit. To draw nigh is to go, give me a little cover here. That sense of humility, that sense of I'm going to submit my own will to someone else's, because that is the way of the kingdom of God. That is the way of eternity, rather than the one that we see that is earthly, that's literally of the dirt, that is devilish, as James says here, that's born out of envy and pride and power and privilege and prestige and position and possessions. All of these things that you and I often build our lives around. You and I take from our culture that says these are your values. This is what it means to be successful. This is what it means to have a good life. That we find out that not only are there religions teaching all of these powerful, devilish ways, that reality tells us that these cultural values of ours have become the actual religion that we practice, that is in very much opposition to Jesus Christ and his ways, to what it means to be in a faith that is grace-oriented. That's not about me. was about gathering others. That's not about what I want. It says, what is it that you need? That isn't about me getting my way and having my thoughts be the thoughts and beliefs of everyone else, but says, friend, tell me your perspective. I'm interested. What does it mean to be a people called grace? What does it mean to have a community of grace? I'm convinced, friends, that in our world, what we need more of are not communities of faith, but communities of grace. Because that term faith is so often associated with religion and the way that it has twisted us in our world. But grace still seems to have a sense of purity to it. When we say that someone has grace or is gracious, we still seem to associate that with kindness and goodness and compassion. Friends, this week I want you to go out and become a person who has a faith that is grace-oriented and lose the religions of this world, both formal and informal, and instead clothe yourself with grace. Amen.